Call from the Dáil on Kerry Today with John Downing.
Now, John Downing with us on the line from the Irish Independent for Call from the Dáil. John, good morning to you. And just before we talk about Fianna Fáil, interesting political machinations in the European Union last night. This last-minute pause to the Mercosur deal. This matters for Irish agriculture. On the other side of it, there are exporters who are not too happy with the delay. But what do you make of it all? More last-minute talks heading into January?
I think it's interesting. I mean, I think it comes as Francie Gorman and other union activists, they have their tractor cage converged on Brussels. I think it's reminding, it reminded so many leaders that the farm and the rural lobby are very unhappy at the moment. It comes, I mean, the example in Ireland of the Farmers Journal investigations in Brazil, the world's biggest beef supplier. I mean, in shorthand for this is, excuse me, beef for cars. South American beef comes in here. German, French and Italian and other cars go in bigger numbers to South America. That's, it's far more complex than that. That thing, the whole idea is going forever and ever. I mean, years ago when I was working in Brussels, Mercosur was a big thing. It's still not with us. But I think it does show that the small print of this one is being poured over. Huge doubt remaining as to controls and policing of standards. The argument from Irish and EU farmers is, look, we'll compete, but we want to compete on a level playing field. We don't want to have to be up against a product that doesn't have the same health, veterinary and safety standards that we have. So, and that's it in a nutshell. This one, it ain't over till it's over.
Mm. Now, that's an interesting turn of phrase you used there. Is the Fianna Fáil presidential omni hames, omni shambles, call it what it is that over till it's over?
It's certainly gone very quiet. There was, the phrase that ran with me was, we'll have hullabaloo and holidays. We had the hullabaloo. Now we're on the cusp of the holidays. The Fianna Fáil rebels, there is huge animosity towards Micheál Martin over the mess that was made. A complete mess. There's never been anything like it of the presidential election by Fianna Fáil. Very clear that the ownership was almost entirely that of Micheál Martin. He's led that party for 14 years. There are all kinds of reasons why some of the parliamentary party and others are very disenchanted with Micheál Martin. You can't lead a big political party for 14 years without developing enemies, basically. So they are there. The question is, how organised are they, and how badly do they want to have a go at Micheál Martin? And more importantly, there is a middle ground of TDs who want to see TDs and senators who want to see change, and they want to see improvements. Not, of course, on things like management of elections, but they also want to see delivery on the things that they're picking up on the ground, principally housing, not exclusively housing. There are many other issues. And there is a feeling that this government is sluggish, very sluggish in terms of delivery. So they want to see those changes. There will be more movement in the new year, I believe. The question is, A, do would-be rebels have the numbers? Do they have the stomach for the fight? And secondly, can they convince middle ground TDs and senators? Yeah.
How many more times can they march up the hill and march back down again, John, is the question. In terms of whether it's Jim O'Callaghan or whoever, the John McGuinnesses, the others who have been communicating their displeasure, the Billy Kelleher's, that they're saying maybe it's time for change. There had been some chatter, maybe it was only media chatter, that there would be a challenge that the 12 votes would be delivered. But there's that question as well, isn't there? How many more times they will do that and
yes,
pull back
there,
at the,
there is,
the last minute?
And there is, and Micheál Martin's supporters, principally the cabinet, the junior cabinet, the committee chairs, they're circling the wagons around Martin. And among the things they are saying is, look, Micheál Martin is blessed in his enemies because they don't have it. So that is a point. And yes, the more often you cry wolf and the more you don't deliver, well, you do run out of credibility.
Yeah, yeah. John, looking at the report, first of all, is it all Keith Barr's fault? Is this all Dublin Football's fault that this whole thing started in the first place?
Well, yeah. I mean, another name kind of emerges from the undergrowth, and it's all down to St. Bridget's, and we learn that Jack Chambers, an unlikely footballer, but a handy footballer, that he's approached, and it comes on. It's all down to football, but and this is not even a Kerry story, Jerry,
yeah.
You know. But look, the report itself, it was pretty innocuous for the length of time we waited upon it.
There was a couple of astonishing things, though, John, in it.
Yeah.
In that, you know, we were waiting for maybe as Micheál Martin himself tetchily said, I'm sick of people looking for gotcha moments. There's no gotcha moment. But there's a couple of glaring, more than a few glaring errors. I mean, no real, despite the fact that the Minister for Children, Norma Foley, was on this programme telling me that due diligence was done, it clearly wasn't done. I mean, asking the candidate, do you remember this, and taking his word for it, that was a big mistake. No internal polling done, and only one meeting between the Taoiseach and Jim Gavin before he pressed the button on it and said, yeah, we're going with this guy. That was all very sloppy, wasn't it?
More than sloppy. It was borderline criminal when you consider that there's 400,000 of Fianna Fáil money down the drain. Some of it very hard fundraised because they're not allowed, of course, spend the state funding for parties directly on elections. It is, yes, and I mean, bar this incident about the non-repayment of overpaid rent, it's very clear that he was quite hopeless from start to finish. I mean, he was worse than useless. The idea of unleashing him as a candidate for the most national election that we have, and he struggles to string, you know, a few simple sentences together and answer a few ABC questions. So, yes, I mean, absolutely very, very sloppy work, a mix of arrogance and incompetence.
Yeah, okay, and they'll be fighting over that one for a while yet, perhaps maybe into the new year. John, before we go any further, some sad news reaching us of the passing of Maureen Quill, a remarkable Kilgarvan woman who went on to play a leading role in national politics and the foundation of the Progressive Democrats.
Yes, absolutely. A very proud Kilgarvan woman. Niece, of course, of Mike Quill, one of America's and indeed the world's greatest trade union leaders, and an old IRA man in his day. She was always proud of the Kilgarvan connection, and I often spoke to her about Kilgarvan and South Kerry. Would have been regarded as a Cork woman in that way, because she spent a big chunk of her life qualified as a teacher in Mary Eye in Limerick, later did night degrees and taught secondary school in Cork, a much loved teacher, but a huge contributor to national politics, acknowledged by the Taoiseach, acknowledged there is actually a lovely tribute to her by Billy Kelleher of Fianna Fáil, long-time constituency Cork North Central constituency rival, but he describes how he got to know her and how much he admired her warmth, her strength of character, her total sense of decency, a huge contribution to Irish politics by Maureen Quill of Kilgarvan.
Yeah, amazing, amazing stuff. We'll talk more about her in hour two. Now, we're going to talk about the year that was, John, in the Dáil. And I want to play you this clip because I suppose from the Kerry point of view, it defined that this government would be different and the constituency would be different as a result of the formation of this government at the start, the end of last year, the start of this year. This quotation is from Michael Healy. I think it was the around about this time last year in the Dáil.
We look forward to rolling up our sleeves and working in whatever way we can to represent. We have three things on an agenda, and the three things are Kerry, 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 and the rest of the country then after that. And we'll do that job to the best of our ability at all times.
There you go. That was Michael Healy-Ray talking about Kerry, Kerry, Kerry. Went in as Minister for State to the Department of Agriculture, Food and the Marine with responsibility for forestry and horticulture. He going in, Deputy Danny Healy-Ray supporting him and consequently the government, mean that with two Fianna Fáil TDs, two Healy-Rays, there was only one opposition TD left in Kerry. What have you made of the year and that decision and how it's played out for the 12 months, John?
It is, Gerry, it's a good point that you make, Gerry, because it is an interesting way of looking at this government. One, two, three, four, five Kerry TDs, only Pat Daly of Sinn Féin, the only opposition TD. We have Norma Foley, a senior minister. We have Michael Healy-Ray, the sort of resident Kerry dissident, is now a junior minister with responsibility for forestry. We have, as you said, Danny Healy-Ray, Michael Cahill of Fianna Fáil from Glenbey, Rossbay. We have a situation, perhaps those final two, you'd put them in as government awkward squad members, but they are, for all that, government TDs. So it does change the dynamic in Kerry, and it shows how the dynamic has altered nationally, because a lot of the newly constituted regional rural TDs are now part of the government system. And where there would have been a very obvious thorn in the side of government and arguing that rural, provincial and rural Ireland is being forgotten, The question is what kind of results can be shown, and that's a question I suppose people will be asking of Michael Healy-Ray specifically in relation to Kerry, since he always, and his father before him, and his brother Danny, always laid such emphasis on delivering for Kerry.
Yeah, Deputy Pat Daly is busy in the High Court this morning. He's been battling away as the sole independent or sole opposition TD, but we'll know at 2 o'clock about his super junior call, John, and we'll see what will happen there.
We'll know, as you say, this afternoon. Hard to know. Traditionally, the courts... The late John R. Costello described it as one big madhouse down in the Keys, the other big madhouse up in Kildare Street. They generally try, the courts generally try to stay out of the parliamentary business, and to some degree vice versa. There is, of course, a quiet and informal overlap. This one is tricky because he's arguing Pat Daly and People Before Profit have a parallel case. Article 28 of the Constitution says there should only be 15 ministers in government, and that they are the other precedents say they are sworn to confidentiality. The argument is, look, you've appointed four super juniors. They attend, they participate, they don't necessarily vote. But this has implications for confidentiality and constitutionality. So it'll be interesting to see what the High Court judges make of this. There was a lengthy hearing back in July.
Yeah. OK, John, now have a listen to this.
Make sure. of yourselves. And I am loath to say again, resume your seat, deputy. Resume your seat, deputy. Have respect for me.
Why they're breaking their word to the opposition? They told us on the day, on the floor here, he's made the commitment. It would be an agreement. Tell us now why you're breaking your word.
If
what
you...
that guy do to you in between?
Deputy, deputy, resume your seat.
You can laugh all you want, me out. You can laugh all you want, but it is not funny. It is not funny.
Yeah, there you go. And on it went for days, John. The whole row over the Cion Corla, the speaking rights and all of that. Verona Murphy trying her hardest there to get order. Order would not come. I kind of had put this back out of my memory. I think I blanked it out. It was so unedifying at the time on all sides. But there you go. It happened this year.
It did. It was the first sign that there was... trouble in paradise. We had Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, by and large, coming pretty strongly through the election last November, and without too much difficulty putting a government together, and everything looked good. And then some strange things began to happen. Firstly, there was Verona Murphy's appointment as Cion Corla, the re-emergence of Michael Lowry, and a rehash of all of the controversies that have surrounded him, helped by the fact that the Gardaí revealed they had sent a file to the DPP, a huge reach back of events going back to 2011 and tribunal reports, you know, going back even further, all going back to 1996, basically. But it dragged on, and a couple of net points. I think, Verona Murphy there saying that the public, they were probably for a time miffed, mildly amused and a bit baffled by what the row was about. But I think the public did get it, that the government and the regional independents were trying to have a shilling each way. They were trying to be both opposition and government. And this was an arcane enough row about speaking rights. In the net point, not much to it, but a principle there of which are you? Are you opposition or are you government? So that dragged on, and it was the first sign that this government was going to run into trouble. We went on to much more practical things. We got confirmation that the 2024 figures on housing supply were not as good as the government, as Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael tried to make out during the election last November. And since then, we've learned that there's even more difficulty and more delay and, the numbers of starts, the various housing indicators telling us that 2025 is very likely to be even worse than the disappointing figures for 2024. So we're really into a lot of difficulty there.
Yeah. John, final word. And I want to have a final word on Fine Gael and Kerry. If you look at, obviously, the local elections last year, fine. The general election was a disaster. And if you add it together with the presidential election and what happened with Sean Kelly, and you tie a line back to what happened with Brendan Griffin when he was going for chief whip and a senior position with Leo Varadkar. This time round, it was Simon Harris who went the other way with Sean Kelly. They failed miserably during the presidential election. There are serious fences that need to be mended between Fine Gael and Kerry and headquarters. And this at a time when the party is starting to drop significantly in the polls. And all the attention on Fianna Fáil this week, but there is attention that needs to be focused on Simon Harris's leadership, particularly when it comes to what the party headquarters have done to Kerry over the last number of years. Kerry, Fine Gael Kerry I'm talking about.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, everything. I agree 100% with everything you have said there, Gerry. Certainly, the row within Fianna Fáil has helped Simon Harris and Fine Gael. There is no doubt that there are some parallels. Sean Kelly was potentially a very creditable candidate for the presidency. There is no doubt that he was blackguarded by HQ and the party leadership in that he couldn't even get on the ticket because he couldn't get enough parliamentary party members to endorse. He couldn't even get on, get as far as a ballot, couldn't get to the starting gate as a potential Fine Gael candidate. So as I say, he was blackguarded, he was blocked by the leadership and HQ, and I think that does compound the other difficulties and challenges faced by Fine Gael in Kerry. I'm reminded of the time when Michael Begley lost his seat and how Fine Gael floundered in Kerry for a long
time. For 20 years, John.
Yeah. So there is a big Kerry issue for Fine Gael, whether they have the application and the morale to address it, well, only time will tell.
Yeah. John, Paddy Crowley would like to wish you a happy Christmas. Really enjoys your call from the Dáil every week. And John, thanks for talking to us this year. We'll catch up with you in the new year, and happy Christmas.
And the best to you all. God bless.
Great stuff.